Even if we're practically smack in the middle of winter, there's birds singing outside my window today, and that with some warming temperatures makes it feel a little bit more like spring, and in turn, that makes me pretty happy. Not start off the program today on a positive note, and there's a song called Happy I can really get behind. Earl Burnett and his Los Angeles Biltmore Hotel Orchestra recorded in Los Angeles on October 20th, 1928 for Brunswick Records. That's a Canadian pressing, number 4104, an unidentified quartet singing, and as I said, the song Happy. And that welcomes you to this edition of the Shellac Stack. My name is Brian Wright. This is the program where I play 78 RPM records from the 19-teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, on into the 1950s, music of all types, with perhaps a special soft spot for those dance bands of the 1920s and 30s. But today, it's going to be a varied program. We've got the Trinity Choir from Victor Records coming up, Margaret Whiting, Cy Walter, a really extraordinary accordionist you won't want to miss, believe me when I say that, Red Allen. Good program coming up today. I hope you'll stick around. And I started out with Happy because there's lots to be happy for this week, especially our friends over at Archaeophone Records, Rich Martin, Megan Hennessy, and of course David Sager, who wrote the liner notes that were recently nominated for a Grammy Award. They didn't win, alas, on Sunday, but just to be nominated, what an honor. And this is, of course, for the Isham Jones 2-CD set that Archaeophone put out, and it's called Happy. And the title song from that CD is a different Happy than the one we just heard. But nevertheless, it's a wonderful, wonderful CD, and I recommend it very highly to you if you have an interest in Isham Jones and early dance band music. So congratulations to all my friends over at Archaeophone, and keep on doing the good work. Well, we've got another happy song for you now, and I resisted the temptation to program an entire shellac stack full of happy songs. That might have been a little bit of an overload, but we'll hear one more. Art Hodes and his orchestra now, recorded March 17th, 1942 in New York. Here's a great Harold Arlen, Ted Kohler song called Get Happy, and this is on a Decca 78. And there you have Art Hodes at the piano and leading an all-star band that included Sidney DePerris on trumpet, Brad Gowans on trombone, Rod Kless at the clarinet, Eddie Condon guitar, Earl Murphy string bass, and Zudi Singleton on the drums from March of 1942. Great record, Get Happy, on Decca 18438. I think that was from an album set. Well, I'm a member of the 78L Discussion Group, which is an online email forum for 78 RPM enthusiasts, and this past week, discussion turned to some of Victor's early electric recordings, and that's a period that I've always found very interesting historically in the recording business because, to my mind, the shift from acoustic to electric recording was really quite significant. It opened up all kinds of new possibilities for recording artists, the sensitivity that the microphone allowed, and just the versatility of it all made it possible for more musicians, I think, to record successfully than had been the case in the acoustic days. And also, the recordings just take on such a fuller and more realistic sound than the rather constrained, tinny sound of many acoustic recordings. You know, the whole technology of it was really quite a change from the acoustic method, which basically just funneled down the sound waves and used the power of those sound waves to drive the cutting stylus to now an electrically driven cutting stylus fed from a microphone and an amplifier. Really quite a change, and I think it's an interesting period, as I've said. Some American recording companies had been experimenting with electric recording since the early 1920s. I think the first commercially issued electric record was actually made in England, in Westminster Abbey, in 1920, for a special service for the unknown soldier at the end of World War I. And that recording was so crudely done, so full of distortion and wow, that it's almost impossible to really recognize what you're listening to, at least in the transfers that I have heard. By 1923, I think Orlando Marsh in Chicago had pioneered a recording system that was a little more reliable, although his early electric recordings were still rather crude and not much better sounding than the acoustic recordings that were being made. Western Electric had pretty much perfected their electric recording system by late 1924, and they peddled it around to some of the major American record companies like Columbia and Victor, both of which, as far as I know, originally turned them down. They seemed satisfied to continue with the acoustic recording. After all, they had all this money invested in their recording apparatuses. They had a huge back catalog of acoustically recorded records, and they were fearful that the sudden shift to electric recording and vastly improved sound quality might render their entire back catalogs obsolete. Nevertheless, when Columbia got word that Victor might be interested, and vice versa, I think both companies signed on with Western Electric in early 1925. And Columbia, I believe, was first to the punch to make electrically recorded masters. They did so in January of 1925 with Art Gillam. Victor followed in February with their very first electric recordings that eventually saw issue. Those by the 8 popular Victor artists, including Billy Murray, Frank Banta, Monroe Silver, and a few others, in a sort of a miniature concert. Well, that's what they credited it as being on the label. But it wasn't until March of 1925 that Victor began recording regularly with this new electric equipment. And one of the very first records, maybe the first record they made for issue, was by the Trinity Choir in Camden, New Jersey on March 4th, 1925. And this was issued ultimately on Victor 19621. Now, for years I had heard that the first Victor electric recording was 19626 by the Mask and Wig Glee Club. And that was recorded about a week and a half or 2 weeks later, although it was the first to see issue. If I'm confusing things, don't worry, I'll be done in a moment and we can go on and listen to the record. But suffice it to say, this record was actually made first and bears a lower catalog number, even if it was issued about 3 weeks following the issue of 19626. So for those, maybe two of you who actually care about all of that, there you have it. But I did promise the folks on 78L that I would play this record this week. So here's both sides of Victor 19621, the Trinity Choir singing first Hark, Hark My Soul, followed by Prayer of Thanksgiving, a folk song of the Netherlands, it says on the label. Both of these sides recorded March 4th, 1925, and being, with the exception of that miniature concert I mentioned a moment ago, the first electrically recorded Victor record, and also the one in the popular series that bears the lowest catalog number. So here you go. Enjoy the Trinity Choir.
Oh,
a nice, nice record that. The Trinity Choir, two sides. First, Hark, Hark, My Soul, followed by Prayer of Thanksgiving. Both of those among Victor's very first electric recordings. Those were made March 4th, 1925 in Camden, New Jersey, and sounding really very good considering the newness of the equipment and the recording techniques that the engineers would have had to have used for that. I think they got great results. That was Victor 19621, both sides there for you. Well, on to something a little more upbeat, a little bouncier, a little more fun, perhaps. In a moment, we'll hear Red Allen and his orchestra on a Mellotone 78, number 13045, from May of 1934. It's a great song, I Wish I Were Twins, so I could love you twice as much as I do. But before we get to that, we'll start out with the Happiness Boys, Billy Jones and Ernie Hare, and a recording made August 3rd, 1928. It's a tune by Gail Grubb, and this is called the Etiquette Blues. And recently, I was working on the Big Broadcast Volume 10 with Rich Conaty for his Big Broadcast radio program, a CD compilation, and we included a version of the Etiquette Blues by Bill Hayes Cubs, which makes for nice comparison with this. Maybe I'll play that sometime down the road, but for today, it's just the Happiness Boys and the Etiquette Blues.
We're the guys that wrote the book on etiquette.
Yes, we know just how all your victuals should be et. I'll say we do.
We have writ this little book about mistakes we've saw.
Now take 'em down and don't forget that what we say is law.
Always leave your spoon right in your coffee. Look out for your eye.
Starting with your soup, first sound your A, then play the pilgrim's chorus.
Napkins are to catch the food that bounces off your knife.
And tuck the napkin in so it will stay underneath your double chin.
And always put both elbows on the table. Many are the pointers we could mention.
Now always gesture with your fork.
Keep your mouth full when you talk.
Thank you for your very kind attention. When your tea is hot, just use your saucer. Pick the pumpkin pie up in your hand.
Don't squeeze it.
Never ask for anything that you can't safely reach. Read Rule 82, you'll understand. Wipe your plate with bread when you have finished.
Mop up.
Many other pointers we could mention.
Grab your glass so it won't drop.
And always finish when you stop.
Thank you for your very kind attention.
We have some more to say on this matter.
You know, we've been watching people eat for many, many years.
Oh, and the way they eat has driven us to tears. It's simply awful.
There's no reason you can't eat polite the same as we.
Yeah, read our book on etiquette. It's simple as can be.
Always mix your peas with your potato.
And this makes eating with your knife a cinch.
You know, when somebody asks for bread, grab several pieces in your mitt.
And deal them out like you were dealing flinch, bridge, poker, pinochle.
Take two toothpicks, you might sometimes drop one.
Of course, and many other pointers we could mention.
Put your gum beneath your plate.
And eat so fast you won't be late.
Thank you for your very kind attention. Never cut spaghetti up in pieces. Eat it like a chicken eating worms. When you're eating cake, be sure you'll eat the frosting first. Watch out for bacteria and germs. Always laugh when nothing funny happens. Many other pointers we could mention.
Finger bowls are set close by.
In event your glass runs dry.
Thank you for your very kind attention.
Thank you. that our twin, your great big baby can. So I would love you twice as much as I do. I'd have four loving arms to embrace you, four eyes to idolize you each time I face you. With two hearts twice as true, what couldn't four lips do? When four ears hear you sing, I'm yours, ba-ba-da, ba-ba-da, your great big baby can. I would that I were twin, so I could love you twice as much as I do.
Wow, that's such a great record. I wouldn't mind playing that again. I won't, but if you want to, you can always back this up and take another listen to I Wish I Were Twins by Henry Red Allen and his orchestra, Mellotone, 13045, from May of 1934. Before that, Billy Jones and Ernie Hare, the Happiness Boys, or if you prefer, the Interwoven Pair, on the air for Interwoven Socks, Victor 21797, from August of 1928, the Etiquette Blues. Always finish when you stop. as some may tell you, I don't always have the best track record when it comes to remembering Valentine's Day, but I did this year, and it's coming up as a reminder to the rest of you. And to help get us in the mood, here's a couple of Valentine's songs, one of which I'm sure you will have heard before, the other maybe not. The one you'll have heard before is the obligatory My Funny Valentine, a Rodgers and Hart song, as recorded by Margaret Whiting in 1947 for Capitol Records. But before that, we'll hear something a little bit more obscure. It's Franklin Bauer singing with the International Novelty Orchestra, which was basically Nat Shilkret and the Victor Orchestra, and a song called simply Valentine, recorded May 18th, 1926 in New York City, credited on the label to Albert Willemetz and H. Christine. Don't know about them, who they were, but it's a nice enough tune and actually a little bit bouncier than one might expect from the title. So here's young Franklin Bauer to sing Valentine, followed by Margaret Whiting.
From me, you know, in the style, you're a queen, Valentine. And I'd walk a mile, it's worth a while to see your pretty smile. That is why I must have Valentine.
A voice I could listen to for hours, Margaret Whiting singing My Funny Valentine from about 1947, Capitol Record number 20117. Before that, Nat Shilkret directing the International Novelty Orchestra on Victor 20066 from May of 1926, a thing called Valentine, sung for us by Franklin Bauer. Well, I got an email, a surprise email yesterday, from Mark Walter, who is the son of pianist Cy Walter, who was sometimes known as the Park Avenue Tatum, supremely talented and very creative pianist active in the 1930s, 40s, 1950s and on into the 1960s, had a long tenure at the Drake Hotel, and just played some really unusual and really good piano. And Mark Walter has been carrying the torch of his father's memory and doing just a wonderful job with a very nice website dedicated to Cy Walter. And just now, as of yesterday, Mark Walter has released a nearly 300-page PDF with an extensive discography of Cy Walter's recordings and pictures and just all kinds of things. It's really a wonder to behold and a great resource for all of us interested in Cy Walter's music. Now, in case you've never heard Cy Walter, you're about to, if you'll let this run a few minutes longer. We're going to hear a couple of 78s that he made that were released as part of a three-record album by the Liberty Music Shop label in December of 1941. And not an easy set to find, but I was thrilled when I came across this a couple years ago at a local record shop. And Cy Walter now, first a Rodgers and Hart song, another one. It's Blue Room. And we'll follow that with a medley of Just One of Those Things and I Get a Kick Out of You. So both of these recorded probably sometime around 1940 or 41. Cy Walter at the piano. Enjoy. And I'm reminded that this year, 2015, marks the 100th anniversary of Cy Walter's birth on September 16th. And thanks to Mark Walter for everything he's been doing to keep alive the memory of Cy Walter, that wonderful pianist of the 30s, 40s, and 50s. We heard two of his records there. First, Blue Room, followed by a medley of Just One of Those Things and I Get a Kick Out of You. And that modulation at the end of Blue Room just gets me every time. That's just incredible. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Both of those 78s on the Liberty Music Shop label. First L336, followed by L302, for those of you who like to keep track of those. Okay, next up, what do we have? We have a record by Paul Laval and his Woodwindy 10 of NBC's Chambers Music Society of Lower Basin Street. There's a mouthful. Victor 27624, recorded August 18th, 1941. This is a sort of a parody of Bach's music written by Alec Templeton, and we'll hear Dr. Gino Hamilton introduce this for us, so I need say not much more. But you may be already familiar with NBC's Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street, sort of a spoof on the rather pretentious-sounding classical music broadcasts of the era, and this time they apply that to jazz music, and it's quite entertaining. After that, we'll hear some real music of Johann Sebastian Bach, but not played in a way you might expect. We'll hear it played as a solo accordion piece by John Molinari, and probably about 1950, we'll hear Bach Gavotte. And I think I've played a Molinari record once or twice in the past, but I found a whole stash of his 78s about 2 or 3 years ago, and he was something else. He died not that long ago, I think, but made a series of records in the early 50s that are just really showpieces of accordion virtuosity, and so I think you'll enjoy this. First, though, here's Paul Laval and his Woodwindy 10.
A noted music critic recently said that if Johann Sebastian Bach could hear how modern musicians play his works, he would clap his hands wildly right up against the modern musician's puss. Dr. Alec Templeton discovered that Bach lends himself admirably to tempo de hep, and as a result, Maestro Paul Laval and his 10 Basin Street Woodwinds now perform the Bach-Templeton Bounce, Mr. Bach Goes to Town. On the other side of the record, Mademoiselle Dinah Shore is waiting to thrill you lovers of the best in music with the aria Sophisticated Lady. She will be accompanied by Dr. Henry Hotlips Levine and his 8 Dixieland Draftees, drafted in the Civil War. But here now is Maestro Paul Laval and his Woodwindy 10 with Mr. Bach Goes to Town. Thank you.
And with John Molinari's performance of a Bach Gavotte on Accordia 1957, I think that was his own label, that brings us already to the end of today's stack of 78s here on the Shellac Stack. Where has the time gone? I had a great time. I hope you enjoyed the music today. And if you'd like to write to me, as always, I welcome your emails. You can address them to shellacstack@gmail.com or just use my website to send me a note through the contact form, www.shellacstack.com, which will take you right to my personal page. And you can find out more about what else I'm up to. And you can also hear past programs in the Shellac Stack series. You can see label scans, all kinds of stuff. Why don't you take a moment, pop on by, visit www.shellacstack.com or my personal site, www.briansright.com, or just do a Google search if you can't remember either of those. And I'll look forward to seeing you on the website and look forward to hearing from you if you decide to send me a message. Well, we're down to the end of today's stack, but there's one record left, and as always, I've saved, I think, a pretty good one. Dick Robertson and his orchestra now from March 8th, 1940. Here's a song that goes back to about 1923. Henry Witter first recorded this for the OK label, and then Vernon Dalhart took it over and had a huge, huge hit with it in 1924 on Victor. I have a sort of a sentimental attachment to the song because it's about a train wreck that took place not far outside my hometown of Lynchburg, Virginia. It's called The Wreck of the Old Southern 97. Here on the label is simply The Wreck of the Old 97. Dick Robertson singing with his orchestra. It translates pretty nicely to jazz. I hope you'll enjoy it. Thanks again for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time for more 78s on the Shellac Stack. Take care.
They gave him up his orders at Monroe, Virginia, saying, Steve, you're way behind time. This is not 38, but it's old 97. You must put a Rin Spencer on time. Steve Brody said to his black greasy fireman, just shovel on a little more coal. And when we cross that white oak mountain, you can watch old 97 roll. It's a mighty rough road from Lynchburg to Danville, and Lima's on a 3-mile grade. It was on this grade when he lost his air brakes, and you see what a jump he made. He was coming down the grade doing 90 miles an hour when his whistle began to scream. He was found at the wreck with his hand on the throttle and was scalded to death by steam. So come on, you ladies. You must take warning from this time on and learn. Never speak harsh words to your true loving husband. He may leave you and never return.